This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Recapping our text scripture was Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul is writing, keep in mind, he's always writing to the church. He's not writing to unbelievers. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, just to recap real quickly, last week we talked about the fact that this was written to believers, and yet Paul was writing to believers, and he said, you still have to do something with your minds and with your bodies. Now, I had a young lady that came up last week. She asked me a good question. She said, Alan, what's a living sacrifice? It says, present your body as a living sacrifice. Really, when Paul is talking about that here, he's saying, wholly acceptable to God. Listen, just, I know this is not news, but you know, the Americans did not invent sex. Don't get quiet on me. That's how all of us got here. So we didn't invent it. It's been around for a while. Surely I don't need to elaborate, right? Joey told me one time, I said, do you think I need to preach a series on sex? She said, absolutely not. I said, okay, well, that's good. That's all I wanted to know. She said, no, so no, you won't get one on that. The idea, though, is that people have dealt with sexual sins for a long time. And I know people say, well, what we have today is we have more problems. No, what we have today is more accessibility. And so a living sacrifice, we'll just take pornography. If you maybe come from a style where you just have become immersed in pornography and you decide, man, I don't want to do that anymore. That's not honoring to God. And I'm going to stop that. When you do, out of honor to the Lord, that's not easy. In other words, it doesn't feel good. And to present your body a living sacrifice, you know, most of the sacrifices were dead when they put them on the altar. This is a living one you put on the altar, and you can still have feelings, but what you're saying is, Lord, this doesn't feel good. I'm cutting this area off in my life as a sacrifice to you. Does that make sense? If you've been sexually active and you say, you know what, I'm going to change that, and I'm going to live just out of respect for the Lord, and I'm going to live separate in that area, and I'm not going to be involved in premarital sex, if you're saying that and you've been involved, that's not easy to say no. That's a living sacrifice. You should see some of the looks I'm getting. This is a real good thing. Is he actually going to go there? Yeah. Well, but the Bible goes there before I go there. So I'm just repeating it. So to present your body a living sacrifice, in other words, there's something, even after, and this was written to Christians, so even after being Christian, you had better do something with your body because your body still wants to do the things that it used to do. If you were a big, super, big-time partier, man, and you smoked a lot of marijuana or dope or pot, or we used to call it reefer, but that's an old word. If you smoked a lot of that and you stopped, your body is going to tell you sometimes, you sit down at night and your body says, I want to smoke a joint. So, Alan, how would you know that? First-hand experience. I would know that. And so when you say no, don't expect your body to go, oh, okay, great. You still have feelings. And so that's a living, so you just tell your body, no, we're going to get up on that altar. This is a sacrifice. If you're used to overindulging in alcohol, your body will tell you, we're not done. I want more. I want a drink till I get a big buzz. And you have to say, no. No, you're not. So what we learn is, you better be telling your body what to do, or your body will tell you what it's going to do. And if you're led by that, you're in trouble. So Paul said, present your body a living sacrifice. And then he talks about renewing the mind. He said, renewing the mind. So we learned last week, it's totally possible to live exactly as a people without God. And so he's writing to the church. He said, you need to be transformed. And transformation is a change. He said, don't be molded into the world, but be transformed or changed from the inside out by the renewing of the mind. Now that's, when we talked about the renewing of the mind, we talked about the principle there. It's the same principle as if you renovated a house. You are pulling out old, you're replacing with new. And so we're renewing. Now, people think, well, the mind, they think the brain. Do you realize that you can't do much with your brain in terms of altering it? What you can do is, when I say mind, I'm just not talking about brain functions. The brain is an organ. But the mind is part of your spiritual nature. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And so it's part of the spiritual nature of man. Some people have you think you're just a brain and a body. No, there is a spiritual side of you that will live forever. And the Bible talks about the heart of man. We're going to be talking about that. So when we're renewing the mind, we're beginning to change the thoughts and the core beliefs that have been in our lives for a long time. And so as we begin to change those, we begin to renovate those, that's when our life begins to change. I'm going to show you that process again. And so it is a process from old to new. And the idea is we have to be intentional about renewal. Now just think just for a moment. Many of you here have relationship with the Lord. Some of you have grown up in church. How many of you know that just coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and going to church won't automatically make you a much better person? But truly born again? Yes, absolutely. But if we don't do something intentional about this process, because if that was the case, in other words, if you heard me say, I say it all the time, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Well, we recognize it's old spiritual things have passed away. You do realize there are still some things that have not become new. How many of you know some of your attitudes, even after you became a Christian, did not change and needed to change? And so if everybody changed, then, oh my gosh, then people say, man, they were so bad and they went to that church one Sunday and they got saved and their whole life turned around just overnight. They're just a completely different person. It just doesn't work that way. It is a process. Now, some of us were on very scenic highways to hell. And so when we got off, people went, whoa, that was pretty major. Some of us were kind of minor with it. But the change process is what we have to understand. And this is what people don't understand. Like, I thought I'm a Christian. I thought things should be different. I thought I'm not going to have problems in that area. And so what we're learning is we become a Christian, we become a new creation, we're going to have all the tools necessary that we need to so that the change that's taking place on the inside can show up on the outside. But we have to utilize it. We have to be a part of that process. Because you know this, if you don't do anything intentional, it is so easy just to be sucked along with exactly like the environment that you're in. Now, some of you understand that. Maybe you work in an environment that's just really negative, and there's negative people around you, and everyone's negative, or they're foul-mouthed, or everything. Have you ever noticed that the more you hang out with them, the more you're with them, it's easier to get sucked in? When I made Jesus my Lord when I was 19 years old, walking across the field in Carbondale, Illinois, June 6th, and got filled with the Spirit. Man, I was on fire for God. And when I came back, I did not get in church. I came back to college. I'm living with fraternity brothers. I had two that I roomed with, and there were three on the apartment next to me. All of those guys were majoring in partying and minoring in education. And so I stepped back into that environment. My first thing was, no, I don't want to party that much. No. But I'm in that environment every day. I did not have a church. I did not have a devotional plan. I did not have any way I'm staying connected. Guess what happened to me? You get sucked into that vortex again. And all of a sudden you wind up going, this is not where I want to be. Was I born again? Yes. Filled with the Spirit? Yes. Living like it? No. So this is one of the reasons you'll notice it just comes out in me. I have such a heart for people who make decisions for Christ and then they struggle and struggle and struggle. And I'm saying, hey, I'm not saying it's easy, but I am saying you can do this. And if you know you got the tools and if you know you have the help, that you can get past those problems that are bothering you and you can get there. Listen, if I did it, you can do it. Say, well, you're a pastor. I wasn't always a pastor. I used to be a reefer-smoking college student. And you say, well, you know, as you mature, listen, I know people who get crazier as they get older, not better. Some of you are thinking about relatives right now. Just look straight ahead and don't. All right. Yeah, I better stay just way far away from that. Okay. Let's go to Ephesians. I want to show you this process again. I want to show you where the process begins. Ephesians 4th chapter. It says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed. There's that word again. Renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Guys, we see this theme throughout the New Testament. Paul is writing this. Book of Ephesians is a marvelous book, and the first few chapters are talking about what's happened to us because we made Jesus our Lord. The Bible said we've been accepted in the Beloved. That means we're accepted by God. We're redeemed. We've been forgiven. We're saved. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. These are all in those first few chapters. Most of the epistles, the way they start is Paul will start with the positional truths, the spiritual truths of who we are. And then he gets down into the nitty-gritty of how to live. Now, I think it's interesting that he always starts the right way. He starts with who we are and then how we live. If you know who you are, it becomes easier to live that life. What's happened is most of us have focused on I'm this, I'm that, I'm that, and we have not focused strong enough on who we are and what God has done in us and the fact that we are new creations and the fact that all these wonderful things. So Paul is writing to them. He tells them all these wonderful things. Guys, this is who you are. These are some exciting things. He wrote the book of Philemon. And he wrote to them, he said that your faith will become energized by the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. If you're thinking out there, hey, you know what? I went down to that church. I prayed that prayer. I got religion. I'm going to heaven when I die. That's great. That's it. No. You got a whole lot more than heaven when you die. You got a whole lot more than fire insurance. What you got, you became a child of the living God. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're a new creation, and old things have passed away out of your life, and the spiritual capacity that you have is huge. It is huge. It's wonderful. This is why I can look at you and go, hey, if you're struggling with problems, I can promise you, you can come out of this. The Bible said in 1 John, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. How many of you have been born of God? That's a bunch of us. That means we overcome the world, anything the world throws our way. All the fear, all the negativity, all the worry, all the perversion, all the junk that comes our way, we're able to overcome it. It said, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So that means we have something to do.
Yes.
We have a part to play. So when Paul is writing to them, he's saying, put off the old man, put on the new man. And he said, your old man, he said, that was corrupt according to deceitful lust. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I promise you, if I sat down and talk with you, that in the course of life, especially those of you who've known the Lord for a long time, who've been walking with Him, you would tell me about an area of your life that you used to be just kind of deceived in, maybe an area that dominated your life, but now by the grace of God, you've come over that area. And so all of us, listen, all of us had areas of deceitful lust. Maybe it was materialism. Maybe it was just a sexual perversion. Maybe it's all these deceitful lusts that are on this side. But then he said, but you need to put that off and put on the new man, which is created like according to God. We're God's kids in righteousness and true holiness. Listen, God did not make spiritual birth defects. There are none. And when you were born again with the same capacity and the same ability that Apostle Paul has, that I have, that Joy has, that any Christian that you can think of has, because it's not what we did on our own, it's what Jesus did for us. And this was all by grace. So we've got put off the old man, put on the new man, and right in the middle is where the process begins. Put off the old man, And I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you have some areas of your life that you know, that's part of my old life, and I need to put that off? Don't just look straight ahead. Don't punch anybody. Just look this way. You got areas of your life that you want to put off and go, they need to be out of my life. And you know, I want to put on that new man, which is created like God. And the process is, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So that's where we keep getting to. If I've got some areas of my life that are part of that old man, they're deceitful, they're wrong, I know it, I want to get rid of them. I want to be able to put on that new man, and right in the middle is we're going to have to begin to do it by renewing our mind, our thoughts, our attitudes, and our core beliefs. Does that make sense? Can you see what happens is sometimes people are over on this side dealing going, God, help me. God, take this away from me. God, take this away from me. And I prayed that prayer before. And I found out that God doesn't just take those things away from me. These are things that we have to put off. And you're thinking, well, I don't have the ability. And that's where we have to renew our minds, is that we absolutely can do this. See, if you're buying into the thought, one of the enemy's greatest thoughts is, you know, Alan can do this because he's a pastor. But you? No. No. You don't have capability. Look at your family. All your family's jacked up. What makes you think you're going to be anything spiritual? There's nobody spiritual in your entire family. What makes you think you can? Oh, no. You can't live that life. And people buy into that lie. That's why Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you
free.
And so what we have to do, though, is if you don't know it's a lie all the time, you just kind of buy into it. And so this is where the renewing of the mind process comes in. We begin to take God's word and we begin to apply it into our life. So what this does, guys, is it makes reading the Bible more meaningful. Because I think a lot of times people read the Bible like, okay, if I read a chapter, God will get off my back. Don't raise your hand. Just look. If I read a chapter, then that means I've done my good thing for the day, and maybe God will like me. If I read a chapter, I'm going to read a chapter. Maybe Alan will stop bothering me about it. Alan won't. Because we're not reading a chapter just to do a duty. We're not reading a chapter just to say we did something. It's not a religious exercise. I don't think God's interested in wasting time. In fact, he tells us in Ephesians, redeem the time, buy the time back, make the most of the time because the days are evil. Reread a chapter a day because in that chapter we find truths that absolutely can change our life. And we read a chapter a day because we find out that God's word is powerful, and it's more powerful than any addiction or any problem or any area that you've had a problem with in the past. And when you put his word in your heart, it can absolutely change your life. It can change your marriage. It can change your family. It can change your outlook. It can change the fact of how you feel about you. And you begin to find out, hey, whoa, I'm a whole lot better than I thought I was. Because in Christ, you look a whole lot better than you do outside of him. And in Christ, we start to find this out. But listen, guys, you can't just passive kind of go and go, you know, I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying to be a good Christian. I don't think people even understand what that means. I'm trying to be a good Christian means I made church 3 times on Sunday and once on Wednesday night. I am trying to be a good Christian. And I understand that, and I appreciate that. But this is where we renew our mind. Listen, church isn't for me. Church isn't for God. Church is for you. Amen. It's to help you, and it's to support you in what you're doing. Because what happens is you begin to get God's thoughts and God's words, and it begins to change your perspective about things. And all of a sudden, you begin to think, wait a minute. I can do this. I can live this life. God will help me. I'm not helpless. And instead of trying to duck and just kind of stay out of God's, off his radar, you start thinking, no, I got a relationship with him. This is good. This is empowering. I'm not running from Him. I'm not ducking Him. I'm running to Him. He helps me. He strengthens me. He lives in me. This is big. This helps me. This helps me get through. I say, Alan, did you always think this way? No. I had to renew my mind. And you say, well, are you done? No. It's a constant renewal. It's constantly renewing. You're like, I didn't want to work that hard. Yeah, you do. Because the results are so much better. You've heard me talk about my marriage a lot. Some of you are like, I'm tired of hearing you talk about your marriage. Well, there are new people here. So, we had a bad marriage, guys. Our marriage was bad. Our marriage was something that her folks didn't think we were going to make it at all. And a lot of other people didn't think we were going to make it. And I'll never forget Mark Verrett, who's our board member, architect of this building, been here at the church with him. He helped me start the church. Early on, he came up when we were staying in Tulsa, and he came up and he was praying for us. He said, you know, he said, I just believe this. Lord really put this on my heart. He said, you guys are going to have a marriage one day that helps other people. And when he left, we laughed. I love Mark, but boy, he missed it there. Because our marriage is bad. You say, well, what changed? Oh, you became a pastor, and so God just went, poof. They've been trying so hard. Poof. I think some people believe in godly magic dust. If I try hard enough, one day I'm going to wake up and God's going to go, poof. And you're going to go, wow, I'm super Christian. If you've been waiting for that day, it ain't happening. But what did happen is Joy and I began to renew our minds on what godly love is and walking in love. Joy had that verse up all over the house, 1 Corinthians 4, 13, 4 through 8. She had it up in the Amplified. I open the kitchen cabinet, it's there. Open the refrigerator, it's there. The bathroom mirror, it's there. I asked her one time, I said, well, why do you have this verse all over the place? She said, I need it. I need a reminder. Living with you is difficult. So I've got 1 Corinthians 13. What are we doing? We're renewing our mind. We're beginning to put off the old person and the selfishness and the arguing, and I had to have our way. And we begin to renew our minds so we can put on the new man. So we can have a relationship that when we have an argument now, it's extremely rare. From fighting two or three times a day to extremely rare. Not magic dust, not godly woo-woo powder. It was an honest attempt to say, Lord, we need your help, and we don't want to live the way we used to live. And so we begin to read and renew and to practice and put that in. Does that make sense? Does that? I think sometimes we buy into this illusion that some people just have it and some don't. And I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. I don't have any advantage in living this than you do. As a pastor, I have no advantage. There's like no special pastor class that gives me an access. In other words, when I close my Bible tonight, we say amen. I've got to renew my mind and walk this out and put off the old man just like you do. My only ability is to minister it. Does that make sense? And so I realize some people think, oh, my preacher is awesome, my preacher is wonderful. I've already told you that I'm not. Most of you are convinced of that by now. But seriously, it's not an advantage that we have. That's why preachers fall. That's why preachers' kids wind up to be little hellions sometimes. Because it's one thing to preach it, it's another thing to live it. And there's no advantage that I have. When I close my Bible tonight, guys, we're all in the same boat in terms of doing this. Does that make sense? Yes. I trust, gosh, the time, y'all listen really well, and the time has passed. But we're gonna keep digging into this. Wednesday nights, if you're new to Wednesday nights, we dig in on Wednesday nights. And we'll stay with something for a while, But I believe that you're a people that can handle it. And I believe that we can learn and we can grow and it can make a difference. Will you bow your heads with me for a second? If you came here this evening and said, you know, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord. I know that and He knows it. But I want to have a relationship with Him. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And I'm going to ask, please, no one jump up and move just for a few moments. If you're here tonight and you're saying, I know in my heart that I'm not where I should be with God. I'm away from Him. I know it. He knows it. Or maybe you're just unsure and you're saying, I don't really know that I've ever made Him the Lord and Savior of my life. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front at all. But this prayer is for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I am going to ask you to do one thing. If either one of those situations applies to you and you want prayer, would you acknowledge it just by an uplifted hand? Alan, would you pray for me? Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Thank you. Yeah, I've gone up all over. Yeah, every section. In the back, in the front. Anybody else? Great. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Thank you, guys. Your honesty and your courage is inspiring. Thank you for that. All right, we're going to pray. Now, maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you're sitting there and your whole heart's beating. You're going, I really wanted to do this. Listen, this is a prayer you can pray, and God sees your heart. It's a heart prayer. We're going to pray with you. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.